sticks to play. Molly's tending bar today on Sunday. It's Nick's on Sunday. Setting up the bar so sweet. Lots of veggies, pies to eat on a Sunday. A Bloody Mary Sunday.
Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is the one and only WICN's own Rick McCarthy, host of The Blend. He's a vocalist, acoustic and electric guitarist, drummer, and we're going to be talking about his new recording titled What I See, Music, Beauty, and Love. Rick, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
We've known each other for a long time, so I got to put that out there in front of the audience. So this is not like...
Yes, years. We've known
years, I know.
Yes.
Is this your first recording?
It is not my first recording. It's my second recording. The first recording was called Message of the Muse. I recorded that one about... that one was recorded and released in 2014.
Was it along the same line? Is it all originals?
It's all originals, yep, all originals. Now, on that one, I had fewer other musicians coming in. I did have other musicians come in, but I stuck to sort of a smaller group, like four or five of the same people.
Oh, my God. I mean, this recording, Music, Beauty, and Love, is like an all-star cast. I mean, you've got all sorts of people, and we'll be talking about those in a bit. Was that like rounding up cats, trying to get everybody on board for this?
You know, actually, it really wasn't. It wasn't too bad. It was. I was asking people a couple of weeks ahead of time before. You know, I'd reach out and talk to people a couple of weeks ahead of time before I was even thinking about having them come in, just to be sure that their schedules would be clear. And everybody was so good about it. Everybody to a person, everybody was very. Cooperative and excited about the whole thing. I have to say, I think part of it was that most of the musicians liked the tunes. And if they like the tunes, it makes such a difference, obviously.
So obviously, are all these musicians personal friends?
Well, they are now if they weren't before.
Some of them are. I know this because some of them actually have gone out and play with you.
Yes. Yes, and for instance, the Russo
yep,
brothers,
yep.
I never really met them. Well, actually, I had met them, but very briefly, and when I'd go out to see them, I'd go out to talk to them. But what sweet, sweet people they are. They're just the nicest people, and so incredibly talented, all of them.
And Dr. Bill Fisher. Do you know that I've known Bill Fisher since my freshman year at Clark?
Yes.
All so many years ago.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Now, you've known him for a while.
Yes, I play with Bill. When I'm out and I'm playing in bands, I'm a drummer, and I don't play guitar. On the CDs, I play guitar. I play acoustic guitar. But I've been playing in bands with Bill now we were trying to figure it out the other day. We play in a band called the Lester Rawson Band. That's a kind of a blues rock band. We're trying to figure out how long we've been doing that, and I think it's at least 10 years. And he and I have been playing together as a bass drum unit for that long in variations.
Oh, my God.
In a variety of different groups.
It's really interesting. Bill, like yourself and like people like Walter Cronkite, there are these people in the sort of central Massachusetts music scene that are just hanging in there. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the best way.
Yeah.
Is like you guys are still there. You're refusing to like give in to the apathy of the audience.
Absolutely. I think part of it, Mark, is that I think you'll understand this, is that when you're a musician, if you're a musician and you do love to play, then you're just going to keep going.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
I've always said to Lisa, my wife, I've always said to her that the best way that I could possibly go and leave this earth would be to be in the middle of a song and collapse over the...
No,
over the drums.
Don't go there, Rick. Now that you've put that out there, don't go there.
Oh, it's been out there for years.
Yeah, but what song would you want to go down by?
Oh, now that I haven't thought about.
Oh, see, that's what... That's what I'd like to, I'd like to know that song. And would it be one of yours, or would you be doing a cover?
It would have to be a cover. It can't be one of mine.
I'm going to ask you this again at the end of the interview, so you better start thinking about what song you would want that in.
I will give some thought to it.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I want to mention Lisa, because Lisa is on this CD, and she does vocals.
Yes, she did.
And this is, a lot of these songs are sort of a love letter to Lisa.
Yeah, they are. I have to say, she's. I have a few muses, but she's the biggest one for sure.
Can you talk about Lisa for a while? She plays too. She plays out.
Yeah, she. So we recorded that particular song. That song came to us during COVID, and I will say that we wrote that one together. I usually write this stuff by myself, but that one we wrote together.
It's unrepentantly sweet, and I really appreciate that. I really like that.
Oh, that's sweet, Mark. Thank you so much. I'm glad you feel that way about it, because it is. And, I mean, I do wear my emotions on my sleeve when I write stuff.
Especially for Lisa.
For Lisa, yeah. Because it comes from a place that's genuine. That those feelings are real. So.
How long have you two been together?
We've been together. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary last month.
Now, have you played out with her?
No. She actually plays
I know this. You got to talk about it.
A jug band called the Wormtown Mugwumps.
I love that name.
And she is she sings a couple of tunes with them, and she is their kazoo player.
Whoa.
Yeah.
If she's
band.
A kazoo player, I would really like to hear her cover the old rock song "Johnny Get Angry," which has a great kazoo chorus in it. I don't know if you remember that.
I do not remember it, but I will have. Oh, to tell go! About it.
It's a classic. Now, what was a really nice surprise is that our own Michelle Wilson does vocals on one of the songs.
Yeah, she does. She sings "What I See."
Yeah,
on "What I See," and she killed it. She did a great
oh my
job
God.
On it.
So you got all these people together. How long did it take you to record it?
I would say that CD took a total of at least 2 years from beginning to end.
Wow, Rick, wow.
At least, yeah. The thing is that I envy people that can go into the recording studio and sort of go in and they do these live things, and particularly jazz musicians. If you look at the notes on a lot of these discs, I'm sure you know this.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the notes on some of the jazz discs, and you look recorded over 3 days in, you know, X studio in New York City, and I think, you know, I take 2 years at least. The first one took at least 2 years as well. But part of it is the scheduling time in the studio, scheduling time with individuals who will be a part of a particular song. You know, I tend to build these songs. They tend to be built rather than go in and just blast them out. They're slowly built, and then ultimately, the result is the end result is the song. But sometimes a single song can take a couple of months for me to finish, based on people's schedule, based on changes to the song, based on, you know, my changing ideas and things like that.
I want to talk about that, because that really fascinates me. I don't get to talk to that many musicians. I do talk to my share, but I'm always fascinated, because I'm not a musician, about the artistry of writing song, putting it together, getting the music on it. Now, and every story is different. So for you, talk to me about writing a song and getting the music behind it. Which comes first, the tune or the lyrics?
The tune. The music comes first always for me. Although recently I did have one song that came to me that the lyrics came first. That's a first, and that's one I'm actually working on now. I'm working on recording it now in Princeton. I recorded Wachusett Recording Studio in Princeton. So I've been working on that one, and that's the only one that the lyrics came first. And that particular song has been a real struggle. It really has been, interestingly. But anyway,
is it because the process is reversed?
I think so. I guess that's what it is. I don't know what it is. Part of it is also that it was a particular tune that I wanted to sing myself. Now, I don't have a particularly strong voice, But I did want to sing it because the lyrics were personal to me. But I've gone back and forth with that tune where I sang it. I had somebody else sing it, and it didn't come out the way I wanted. So I'm actually on a third singer working on
it. Oh, my God.
Tune because I want it to be right. And it's that's kind of how I feel about it. It's, if I listen to it and it doesn't sound the way that I sort of think it should sound in my head, then it's not going to work.
Well, so, on the music, on Music, Beauty, and Love, you have a lot of other instrumentalists on any one cut.
Yes.
Are you writing it with them in mind? In other words, I need some, you know, I need some of this here, I need some of that there. Or are you trying it out and going, well, that's not working, and I'm going to leave that out?
Okay, so I guess the answer to that question is A, no, I don't write for specific musicians. I just write...
So you invite them in and ask them to sort of jam?
Yes.
Excellent.
So what I do is I've always, since I started this process of writing music, which really hasn't been that long, I only started doing this about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And what I do is I'll come up with a tune. It starts with just chords. I'll come up with a chord progression, and I'll work on that, something that sounds pretty to me. Then I work on a melody, and I work on the lyrics.
Okay, stop right there. Now, you said you're a drummer, but I assume you've got an acoustic guitar, and you're working it out, or an electric guitar, because you play both on this. You play all three on this CD.
Yeah, I work it out on the acoustic guitar. I work
excellent,
it out on the
excellent.
Acoustic
okay,
guitar.
Okay.
I actually am not trained. I have no training. I have no. What I did was the way I learned to play guitar was because I'm old enough and I've played long enough. I used to. This is the God's honest truth. When I would play for years, I would just stare at the guitar player's hands. I would just watch.
Wow! Wow!
And so when I finally picked up a guitar, I had all this. Memory or all these images of what guitar players' hands looked on the neck. So I started fooling around with fingerings on the neck and
that's
then strumming.
That's amazing.
Going, that's a chord.
and
over the years, that is how I've learned to play guitar. And I only just about a month ago started taking guitar lessons.
Yeah, but does that mean you're going to have to unlearn everything else you've learned up until then?
I picked somebody very specifically
okay.
who was not going to try to unteach the things that I already had taught myself.
God, Rick. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. My special guest tonight is WICN's own Rick McCarthy, host of
The Blend.
The Blend. He's a vocalist, acoustic and electric guitarist on this CD, drummer, and we're talking about his brand new recording, which is really a good recording. What I See, Music, Beauty, and Love. That story you just told me, because I was going to ask you, were you playing guitar as a kid?
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I didn't. So when I picked it up the first time, let's see. I picked up a guitar the first time, like maybe in the late 70s, and I fiddled with it for a couple of years, and then I got married and I had kids. And, you know
but I got to ask you that because I asked this of all artists, visual and auditory. So what pushed you over that edge to take up the guitar? Like, what was that moment where you went, "I'm tired of listening. I'm going to play."
That's a very good question.
Is there a specific incident?
There really wasn't a specific incident other than...
You wanted to get chicks?
No, it wasn't.
Rick had hit a dry spell and decided that his best way to proceed was to become a guitarist, as so many people have chosen that way.
Yeah, exactly. No, I probably was in my late 20s the first time I picked it up.
Wow.
And it was more of a case of, I think that I knew somebody who had an acoustic guitar or had a few of them like most guitar players. And somehow I ended up borrowing this guy's guitar and it came to my apartment. So I was able to sit down and start playing and fooling around with it.
Wow. So yours is your musical story and journey is a really unique one. I really enjoy hearing this. Now you must have listened to a lot of rock as a kid.
I did indeed. I loved rock and roll.
You got to tell me some bands and some albums that influence you.
Let's see.
Not necessarily in playing, but in living your life.
Very.
Now I know Steely Dan is important to you.
Yes, I was just going to say my favorite band of all time, Steely Dan. Have you gotten
to see them play? Did you get to see them play?
Many times.
Oh wow!
They are absolutely incredible. I mean, Steely Dan's an interesting band because over years, as time has gone by, certain bands have persevered and continued, and other bands have sort of fallen by the wayside, and other bands have continued on sort of doing the same thing that they do, no matter how old they got. But Steely Dan continued up until making albums up until like 1980, and then Donald Fagen started doing his solo stuff from that point forward.
Right.
But they still tour all the time. And his touring band is just chock full of like top notch musicians. Donald Fagen, now that Walter Becker has passed. So you go see them, you're going to see some musicians that are just top notch jazz musicians. Really great stuff. But
it's interesting because I love that band. And I remember from Countdown to Ecstasy on. And then when they got to Asia,
yeah.
That's I think when they really started to take a whole different tack in the band.
I totally agree with you about that completely. I can remember to this day hearing the song Asia, hearing the sax solo in that song. And getting chills up my spine. And I had no idea who Wayne Shorter was back then. No idea. And there I was, a budding jazz guy, not even knowing that I was a budding jazz guy, with Wayne Shorter giving chills up my spine without knowing that it was Wayne Shorter.
I think for a lot of people, that was sort of the album they got into. Yeah. Steely Dan was that album.
And there's this whole group of people today who still just appreciate what Steely Dan is and was and love them. But there's this whole other younger group who calls them yacht rock. Have you heard that term?
No. Yacht rock? What does that mean?
Yeah. I was interested. So one of the bands that
I'm elderly, so I'm not hip to the kids' lingo.
Well, one of the bands I'm playing with right now is a group of people who are all in their mid-40s. Now, I will say, I just turned 70, so these guys are considerably younger than me. And somehow, in a conversation, Steely Dan came up, and one of the people I was talking to was actually even younger, a woman in her like her 30s, said, "Oh yeah, that's yacht rock." And I said, "Yacht rock?" I said, "What is yacht rock?"
Is it like where privileged people are listening to on their yachts? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's kind of like people like on vacation. They're at the ocean. They're
sitting
on their sailboat and they listen to bands like Steely Dan.
So these people have never heard Pretzel Logic and stuff like that.
Well, I guess not. I guess they sort of see it as like smooth.
Oh, okay.
It's a misinterpretation of what they are, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Other bands like the Doobie Brothers are included in that, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I don't associate the Doobie Brothers with Steely Dan.
Right, exactly. But I understand sort of if you think of Minute by Minute,
yeah, maybe.
Asia.
But I can't believe we're having this conversation in an interview. But when Steely Dan first came out for the first couple of albums, they actually had a reputation of being really dark and weird.
Yes, absolutely they did, yeah. And even their lyrics continued to be that way throughout their career.
Even the name of the band.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes.
I go, we're going to run out of time because we could just shoot the crap over music all day long.
Steely Dan, I know.
I want to talk about some of the songs on this album, some of my absolute favorites, okay? First of all, hands down for me, the big hit of this album is Nicks on Sundays.
Yes.
Because it tells a great story, but it's got a great beat and it swings.
Yes.
Talk to me about Nicks. I think that's a great freaking song.
So I was, to be honest, I was unfamiliar with Nicks for many, many years. I didn't know much about Nicks. And we started going down there because I was playing in a band. There's a band that I'm playing in right now called the LJs. And they were gigging at Nicks, on occasion. So I would go down and I'd play there. And I started to get familiar with Nicks, particularly on Sunday afternoons, because on Sunday afternoons – Molly is the bartender, and her partner, her husband, oh my God, I just drew a blank.
It's in the song, so people are going to have to buy the album to know who this
name is. All the names are in the song. Yeah, so I actually basically in the song talk about all the people that Glenn is her husband. He's her husband. So all these people, I managed to weave the names of all of the people that I knew on Sundays down at Nick's, the main characters, into the song.
The sad thing is, is that Nick's isn't what it is. Was.
I know. And Nick's, once that song came out, within a couple of months was sold.
Oh, God.
that's kind of my luck.
Yeah, but now it's like nostalgia listening to it. I just think, first of all, it's a fun song. It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's a really, it's a wonderful song about a place. Now, I've always knew that you were an unreconstructed hippie like myself.
Yes, I am.
Like myself. And you've got a song on here called A Hippie's Lament. Talk about that.
Oh, that one came to me. I think that one came to me as a result of just of chatting with friends of my age and reading the news, and just sort of it's a reflection on basically, and this is my own personal view, my disappointment in sort of the way things went from the time I was, say, maybe 20 years old, and how I thought things were going to go.
I think we're on the same wavelength on this. Like, I really thought in my old age, and I'm a little bit older than you, that I thought I'd be able to relax and not have to worry about stuff as much.
I clearly was, I was very much of a kind of a hippie idealist at that age, as so many other people were. But
I was too.
And I sort of believed that it really was going to happen, that maybe those kinds of good changes would take place.
Silly rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. So that was where that song came from. It was my disappointment, I guess, in the fact that it did not turn out that way.
I love That's Jazz, my friends. You know, the first thing I thought of when I heard it is in the song High Society with Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, cool.
Bing Crosby sings a song of what jazz is. Mm. And then I thought, well, this is the 2000s version of that. So that was fun. Talk to me about doing that. Because people will probably be surprised. I mean, this music is sort of, you can't really pigeonhole the music because it touches a lot of bases.
It really does. And it's sort of, and the way that I write tends to be, as I said, I do it based on chords and the way chords sound together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it sort of builds up from there. In that particular tune, I was on vacation. I was in New Hampshire, and we were at this beautiful, beautiful spot in New Hampshire where I was able to go out and sit at a picnic table and look at this beautiful scenery while I was there with the guitar. And I just sat there and I started playing a progression that came to me, and it turned into That's Jazz. And I thought to myself, this is kind of a swingy song.
I wanted to challenge
myself to be given that I'm a jazz DJ, I figured, you know, Rick, maybe you should try to write something that feels like jazz. And the people that play on it are the ones that get the real credit for turning it into a jazz song. That tune was based on very jazzy chords, but the song itself really swings because the Russo brothers are on there.
Jim Russo
plays an amazing sax solo on it. Brooks Milgate plays keyboards on that one. My friend Mike Harmon plays great swinging drums on it. That song swings, and John Solopardo killed it on the vocals, I thought.
We're going to run out of time, but talk to me about What I See. Now, you didn't want to sing that? You wanted to find another vocalist?
What I See. Now, that one was... what is that one?
I mean, Michelle knocked it out of the park.
Oh, that one, yeah. Honestly, on certain songs, I would try to sing the vocals. Now, there's a couple on there that I sang that I was happy about. I was like, okay, this feels okay to me, and I'm not embarrassed to put this out into the public if anybody listens to it.
But then there's some songs I really need to find somebody who can do it. Because that she was perfect for the material.
She was absolutely perfect for it. I mean, she came in and she did two takes on it, and that was it. She was pretty much done with it. She had, you know, she's a professional. I mean,
That's right.
A pro. So she I love the way that came out. I really do. And all the musicians and on that deserve all, you know, I was the songwriter, but these guys that went in and did these things for me. What I was going to say to you, and I know you're running out of time, was that the way that I, to sum up, the way that I see these songs is kind of like I see myself as kind of a painter who creates a palette, and that's all I've created is a palette. And I ask people to come into the studio and paint on it, and they do. I never give direction. I'm like, you do what you want to do, what you feel. Now, if they did something that was awful and I thought, oh, God, that doesn't fit. If it was like free jazz, I'd be like, well, you can't use that. But nobody does that. They go in and they paint along with what the canvas had already started to look like, if that makes sense.
But that's because these are serious session musicians. I mean, they know what to do. They know what to do. Yeah.
Yep. People, and they like the songs, and that's what's so
that's
important.
Another thing. I mean, how can you hate the songs? No, I'm not being facetious. It's like these are good songs. They're fun songs. The love songs. I mean, it's like, come on.
Well, I appreciate. I really.
I'm a hardcore punker too.
I know you are, and that means a lot to me. I'm very serious. It means a lot to me that there's a couple of people that have mentioned that are part of WICN who have mentioned that they really like the disc. And it touches me. It means a lot.
Well, tell you what makes the difference, too. Not only are the songs great and the instrumentation is fantastic, but the recording process, I mean, it's beautifully recorded. It's professional. And it's not like some local guy recording the thing. You know, that happens a lot. And
I know. Yeah,
the other thing is the song "These Things Will Never Change." Has that popped up at somebody's wedding, like wedding party? I bet it will.
Well, if it has, I haven't seen that yet. There's all kinds of, you know, being kind of unfamiliar with the way that things are distributed.
Well,
these days.
Well, before we have to go, how can people get the record?
Okay, so people can get, basically, if you want to get it, it's available on all the streaming.
So like Amazon and everything else?
Yeah, it's available on Spotify for streaming. It's available to buy on Amazon. And if you're local, there's actual physical CDs in Joe's Records and also Union Music.
Good job, man.
Like, Mark, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to even talk to me about this. It's great.
My guest tonight has been WICN's own host of The Blend, Rick McCarthy. Vocalist, acoustic and electric guitarist, drummer, and you'll hear all of those on this new recording that we're talking about, What I See, Music, Beauty, and Love. Rick, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mark, and I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon, too. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.
Headed down to Nick's to play. Molly's tending bar today on Sunday. It's Nick's on Sunday. Setting up the bar so sweet. Lots of veggies, pies to eat on a Sunday. A Bloody Mary Sunday. Glenn's posted at the door. Greeting folks as Molly pours on his Sunday. Yeah, Nick's on Sunday.